Open up your Bibles with me to Psalm 100. This is called the Old 100th, and it is a powerful psalm, and I've titled this Time to Give Thanks. And so it's a beautiful psalm. It's really been precious in the nation's history for a long time. So it's a psalm that I believe would speak to our hearts today. I want to begin by reading verses 1 through 5, and we'll start there this morning. So follow along, please, as I read these verses. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." Father God, I pray this morning that your word would come alive to our hearts and our spirits, and God, that you would give us a grateful heart today and speak to our lives for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And once again, church, if you agree, say amen. So what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving Day? For some, Thanksgiving Day is all about the food, the turkey, the dressing, the cranberry sauce, the pumpkin pie, yams, whatever. Good. Yeah, all of it. And for others, Thanksgiving Day means football. In fact, I remember in our life with my wife and I and the kids when they were young, we used to go up to Fresno area and visit relatives, and it was all about football. Football game was on from, seemed like, afternoon all the way through the night. And then others, Thanksgiving represents a long weekend, time to rest, unwind, relax. And some think of Thanksgiving Day as the day to prepare for the busiest shopping day of the year, and it's called what? Yeah, you got it, Black Friday. I ought to have a Black Friday service sometime. But it's time to hit those sales and get those Christmas presents as people are out seeking for getting that done on Friday. For some, Thanksgiving Day is a time for family. It represents a family reunion where mom, dad, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, cousins all get together. For some, Thanksgiving represents history. They think of the founding of our country, the Pilgrims, the Indians, Plymouth Rock. The official proclamation of Thanksgiving in America was made by George Washington in 1789. And of course, it would be later on that Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1941 would set a date for when it would be, or a day, on the fourth Thursday of the month of November. For those of us who profess to follow God, Thanksgiving Day is not just a time for food, football, fellowship, and family. It's not just a holiday of every fourth of Thursday in November. It's not limited to a day at all. You see, for God's people, Thanksgiving is a day of celebration for all of us. To me, Thanksgiving is more important than any other holiday we celebrate. Why? Because you say, well, the birth of Christ, yes, that's important, but he didn't just be born as a child. He was born to die. So we would say Easter would be it, but no, Thanksgiving to me, because it's a time to give thanks and praise to our living God for all that he is, all that he's done, and all that he will continue to do. So who is not hungry at Thanksgiving? Guess who? The turkey stuffed already. And so I also read a little poem that, "May your stuffing be tasty, may your turkey plump, may your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize, and may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs." And so you might celebrate on the last line there. But yet, this is one of the most beautiful psalms of Thanksgiving we have in the Bible, the Old 100th, as it's called. In fact, it's the only psalm that declares, in most of your Bibles, it'll say a psalm of Thanksgiving. It's very significant, very important. It's the only one named that particular fact. In fact, the British Christians attached this psalm to a tune that became known as the Old 100th. In the courtship of Miles Standish, Longfellow calls the Old 100th the grand old Puritan theme. And yet, despite all the turmoil in America, the financial crisis of different people, the election, the real estate crisis in some cases, we have so much to be thankful for. Aren't you glad that we can worship the Lord God and be thankful to Him? Can you say amen to that? Okay, good. It's impossible, according to Naomi Williams, to feel grateful and depressed at the same time. So which one are you going to choose? It's all up to you. It isn't what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but what you have in your heart, someone said. And just a thank you is a mighty powerful prayer, says it all, Rosie Cash. But have you ever thought about what you're thankful for? Like you, I'm sure our list might include salvation, Calvary Chapel the Way, the people there, and the people who serve and all of those things, the friends, the nation we live in, despite all of its flaws. But yet, I'm thankful to Jesus this morning because, you see, He made my life what it is, and the very fact that I'm here today as He holds my life. Thanks be to God. And so when you think about all of the things that are considering the area of Thanksgiving, even the Bible says to give thanks for our government and the leadership. Sometimes that might be a little difficult, but it shouldn't be. Why? Because God's in charge of them. And so I have to look past them to look to God. The former president, or the late president Ronald Reagan, once gave this prophetic word to the countrymen of the United States. He says, quote, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." So I pray for a nation under God, and that is my desire. George Washington, in one of his prayers, said, "Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that Thou will keep the United States in Thy holy protection, that Thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government and giving thanks." And yet, of course, we know that George Washington in 1789 made a public proclamation, the very first one, to set aside a day to give thanks to the Lord. So this particular psalm deals with our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratefulness. So this morning, the grateful heart, that's where it all begins. And this was written actually for the people of Israel. God said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and have plenty to eat, do not forget me. And that's what the psalm's intention is, not to forget God. In fact, God would remind them that He led them out of the wilderness. He brought them into a land filled with milk and honey. But it doesn't take very long to realize the people of Israel needed to be reminded. And guess who else? We do as well. See, it's not about all the festivities. It's about our relationship. It's about where our heart is with God. May God have us in mind too, this psalm. And the last verse, by the way, it talks about within the psalm, it says that this is written to all the earth there in, oh, it says all you lands in the New King James, but all the earth in the old. But then down at the end of the psalm, it says this truth endures to all generations. So guess what? It was not only written to Israel, it's written to you and I as well. And for those who go on past us in our life. But consider the significance of this worship with thanksgiving and praise with a grateful heart. Why? Because it encourages others in their spiritual development. It shows the world where our priorities are. It's one means of expressing my love to God. And it's also an avenue which God has provided, which I can praise His name and to offer spiritual sacrifices. It's a way of showing thanksgiving to God, but it's also a way of communion with God, of which today we're also going to be partaking of that. But I'm reminded of the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah. And of course, you remember that the first group of those Israelites that were in Babylon in captivity for 70 years because they were not obeying God, and they were sent away to captivity, of which they were, and they were allowed to come back during a time by Cyrus to return after their 70 years, and approximately 50,000 of those people that had been captive returned back to Israel. But yet there was a problem, and later on Nehemiah would hear about it. There were no walls, and if there were no walls, there was no protection. If there was no walls, they were subjecting themselves as a people there to worship God into every enemy that would come into their land. And so Nehemiah's heart was broken. He wanted to see those walls, and guess what he did? He put those walls together. He had the people who had a mind to serve and a mind to work to get those walls up as quickly as possible. And actually, it was all done in 52 days. That's an incredible miracle. But God wanted that prayer answered for the safety of his people. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, it's really interesting because Nehemiah has a Thanksgiving service. Not like you and I celebrate, but he did have a Thanksgiving service. He had the leaders of Judah go up on one wall, and then the singers were brought from Jerusalem, and he had the other group go up on the other wall. And their whole position was to give thanks. Can you say give thanks? Oh, yeah. Give thanks. That they gave thanks and they worshiped God, and it was a celebration in the days of Nehemiah. So what should we thank God for? Well, there's a lot of things. One, we no longer have sacrifices to him in the form of animals. Thanks be to God, right? For us, we never were a partaker of that or a participant, but they were. We are to give thanks before eating. By the way, when Jesus fed the 5,000, do you know, in John 6:11, then Jesus took the loaves, he held them up, and he gave thanks to the Father God. I think that's a good example for us. And yet we are to give thanks for God for his goodness and his love. Just one of the many psalms, like Psalm 106:1 says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And our scripture today is also going to talk about that he is God, but he's also good. And in case there aren't enough things to thank God for, we're to thank God for everything, always, and in public. Always? In public? Give thanks? In fact, Paul said, Ephesians 5:20, and you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I walked in this morning with my wife, my daughter Natalie was working in the teacher's room, and her husband Brent was out there pulling this candy barrel we have with probably about 15 gallons of candy in it and pulling it out on the front. And I go, what's going on? And then my daughter immediately told me that ants are in the teacher's room and they came after the candy. I go, wow, that's amazing. She probably wondered why I didn't take it so much to heart, because I said, you know, that reminds me of a scripture. Proverbs 6:9 says, pay attention to the ants, that they work hard during the time of harvest. That would be October 31st. And then they're ready for Thanksgiving, and because they got candy to celebrate. So even they, and the Bible says, look at them, they work hard. So I look around and I see so many people working hard. Even as Pastor Todd mentioned, that Friday people were here during the week, they were here to prepare for our luncheon this afternoon. And of course, Pastor Mike Perez is the you might say, he is the man in charge of that whole thing. And so praise be to God, we've got people serving. They were serving out there getting ready this morning. And even Peter didn't feel good. And we lift him up in prayer, but yet he was there serving. Praise be to God. So we're to give thanks for all things. Yeah, even the ants. Okay. Except when they come to where I live. I'm not thankful at that point. In fact, I give them a treat that they don't really like afterwards. But anyhow, I give them a rest. Hopefully, it'll last for a long time. And we have absolutely every reason to thank God for us. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers or sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. And so, giving thanks. Any of you facing trials? Oh, yes, we are. I am. I face a lot of trials in life. But thanks be to God, I look to him and trust him. I haven't been giving him. I'm not spiritual enough yet, as all these years, 42 years as a pastor. And I haven't got quite there where I thank him for every bad thing that's going on. But I do thank him. And I thank him because he's going to guide me through it. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to his name. And we just experienced that in our worship from our worship team. Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 2:6 that our lives are to abound in thanksgiving. So that grateful heart covers all of this. And in Colossians 4:2, we're to be devoted to giving thanks. Are we devoted to giving thanks? Can you say, I will give thanks? Okay, good. You remember, you just said that. Thanks be to God. I'm glad you said it. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. And so all of these, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and worship, singing spiritual songs to the Lord with thankfulness in your heart. So the ungrateful heart. Now you could say, okay, we've got all these things to be thankful for, but a lot of times we're not. And you know, there's a numerous examples in Scripture about the ungrateful heart. I don't think I need to take you through each one of them, but I'm going to give you five areas of why people are ungrateful. And you might know somebody who's ungrateful, and you're going to see one or more of these that are going on, and you can pray for them. So I'm only going to give you, I'm not going to give you examples, I'm not going to mention any names, but the ungrateful heart, oh, number one, affluence. And they're ungrateful because sometimes they're not on that side of it. They're on the wrong side of it. And then another one is pride. Sometimes that pride gets in the way, that ego. And sometimes it's just plain people. They get in the way too. Oh, no, I don't mean it wrong. Okay, they get in the way. Hopefully they're at the way and you see them today and you can say praise the Lord for them. Amen. And then habit. Well, some people, they just carry it around with them. They've got Eeyore complex, whatever that is. And they just walk around sad all the time. And can I be prayed for? Yes, you can be prayed for. And then I'll tell you, habit becomes a habit. And it takes at least 30 days, according to one great scholar of mental health and religion. And really, truly, he says a habit can be changed in 30 days. I want you to change it in the next 30 minutes. And then circumstances. Circumstances. Oh, yeah. We can be grateful for every circumstance, right? Sometimes we're ungrateful because of our circumstance. And you know what? I think the Lord sees that, and He knows that. The late Henry Ward Beecher said, the unthankful heart discovers no mercies. This is important. But the thankful heart will find mercy in every hour and some heavenly blessings to accompany it. So if you want mercy, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, you need to be a one who's got a thankful heart. So there's some exhortations. I put them in your note outline there. And these exhortations, they actually kind of go with some areas that are very important. The late Dr. McGee said, our world has happy hour serving liquids. What the church needs is no liquids, but happy hour without the liquids. And yet, I think that's so true. So the psalmist declares six exhortations as commands of a heart of thanksgiving. And the first one he gives to us is right here at the top of the list. He says in Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands, all you nations. A joyful shout to the Lord. So the first exhortation, it means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. Can you say out loud, praise the Lord? Well, that was close, but you're not up to a trumpet blast. Pastor Todd could drown you out, and we wouldn't even hear you. So let's hear it correctly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so thanksgiving is number one, and I'm going to give you a few of these P words, but this is public. It's to be made public. You know, too often we hide that. In fact, I grew up in a church where you weren't allowed to raise your hands, you weren't allowed to do clap, or you weren't allowed to do anything, and except just sit there and hear a sermon that would make you think, I got to get up there to that altar before I go to hell this afternoon. And I grew up in that church, and I'm telling you what, it was really difficult in a lot of ways as a young kid. But joyful shout to the Lord. In English, the word thank means express gratitude or appreciation. So who am I thanking? I could thank my wife, and I do, for a lot of wonderful things. If she makes the coffee before I do, I always thank her for that. If she heats up my cream in my cup before I pour the coffee in, which I'm always grateful for that too. But the word in the Hebrew is yada. It's not ya, ya, ya. It means literally to make public acknowledgement. Yada means to make an acknowledgement, but publicly, not to hide it. In fact, make a joyful noise on the Lord. When we translate the word shout or noise, the meaning is volume. So we need to get that volume up when he says, the psalmist declares, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you of the lands of the nations. So how important? Well, it's very important. So it's number one, it's public. And so as we recognize that, it's really important. In fact, as in our life, there's a second part that we face too. And the second exhortation is right there in verse 2. The first three words are what? Serve the Lord. Would you say serve the Lord? And that's also public. Some say, well, I serve the Lord, but I hide. And we've got a lot of people that are a little shy, but you know what? They're serving the Lord. In fact, I love it how Peter and Liz get these people in our church committed to be serving. And we'll see some of them today in the serving. But sometimes they're behind the scenes. But it's public. So our Thanksgiving is to be public. And how? Serving the Lord. You say, well, they're just trying to show off. No, they're doing what the Scripture says. It says serve the Lord, but it's a public service of the Lord. And so the reality, are we afraid or are we a little shy? And yet it's interesting to me, I'll see people that can complain on a lot of things, but yet when you see them serving, oh, I don't always see them serving. And so sometimes I think if we're serving, we'll get better in line, or more in line, I should say, not better in line, at going against that complaining spirit and become one who's got a glad heart. So he says, serve the Lord, but how? With gladness, with happiness, not sadness. So sometimes we are a little sad. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, the Israelites complained about their hardships. And when God heard it, his anger was aroused. And by the way, that wasn't a good thing, because what God did, he sent serpents among them. He says, they want to act like snakes, I'll give them snakes. And he literally did. So, or ants, whatever the case may be. So let's make sure, no reflection on my daughter about those ants this morning. She was just panicky because she was losing candy. And I go, don't worry about that candy. Pastor Todd will always eat that candy. And so he cleans off the ants, shake them off and grab it. And so Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complain because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they are complaining. And yet sometimes it's exactly what happens. In fact, Psalm 77, verse 3 says this word of wisdom, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And yet we can be overwhelmed through that. So we need to change that attitude. The third exhortation that also goes along with public is very clear and understood, because he says in verse 1, come before his presence with singing. And that's what we do here at Calvary Chapel. We've got a wonderful worship team, and God has blessed us. And, of course, their daughter, their family's being raised up to worship God, and Kayla sang for us this morning. And so the third command is clear. It's an exhortation. Come before his presence with singing. And that could mean you might be all alone in your car. Could mean at home. Could mean where you're taking a shower. You know, a lot of people sing when they're taking a shower. I don't, actually. I don't want to sing out loud around anybody, and I'm not with anybody when I take a shower, but I've sang in my car, and I've worshiped God, and my wife is always singing, and so I get it. So how do we do it? With that melody in our heart to the Lord. He wrote, Paul did, rejoice in the Lord always, and then he wrote it again. Again, I say rejoice. Doctors Minrith and Meyer, a great psychology team, have a book entitled Happiness is a Choice. And I would add to the list that they have, they said, likewise, gratitude is a choice. And we must make a conscientious decision that we're going to be grateful despite the circumstances that surround our life. Wow, that's good therapy. In fact, he went on to quote in his book, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. Francie Schwartz, in her book, Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, tells about a guy named Jerry. Jerry was a restaurant owner, and whenever he asked him how he was doing, his answer was a pat answer, but it was true in his heart. He says, if I was any better, I'd be twins. That's what he always said. So when you come up to somebody and say, how you doing? And you could be quoting out of that particular book, if I was any better, I would be twins. Okay, well then Jerry owned a store and he got robbed. And when he got robbed, they panicked, the thieves did, and they shot him. And of course, he was put into intensive care on the operating table, several weeks in intensive care, but he did survive. And later, when she asked him for her book interview, as it turns out to be, when he says, well, when I was laying on the floor, I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. I chose to live. When he was in the hospital, they said, we're going to operate on you, and things are pretty serious, but we've got our best team working. He says, are you allergic to anything? He says, yeah, got bullets. I'm allergic to bullets. And they all laughed and thought that was the most wonderful thing they ever heard in the operating room for a gunshot victim. He says, or she said, I saw Jerry 6 months after the accident and asked him how he was doing. He replied, if it was any better, I'd be twins. So he's never lost that, and much to do in her book as well. So the fourth exhortation is know that he is God. Look with me at verse 3. So we go from those three public areas, and now we go to purposeful. And it says, know that the Lord, he is God. Wow, that's pretty clear. He's God. And so because he is God, we need to be purposing in our heart to be gratitude towards everything in his life. Sir John Templeton, the billionaire investor, once was asked, what was the secret of his wealth? And he says, without hesitation, he says, this is it, gratitude. He says, if you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. Wow, that was pretty clear. I would think he would answer, well, it's all my money. No. He says, if you're not grateful, no matter how much money you have, you are poor. And so the reality is, we may not be rich in the pocketbook, but we can be rich in the heart. Amen? And so the psalmist giving us these exhortations, and it's giving us a purpose. And what's the purpose? He says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. So you might have had some involvement, but it was God who put it together. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Ohio passed a law that now is law that's affecting really all the states, possibly, and that they will not allow abortion after they sense a heartbeat in that child. If they sense a heartbeat, that child's not going to be aborted, or it'll be illegal in Ohio. Get ready, California. We're going to have a lot of Ohioans, and unfortunately, moving here. But they believe this will be a primer across the United States. Now, this is not happening because of the Supreme Court. It's happening because people are saying this is wrong, and they need to do something about it. So Ohio passed that law. In Daniel 6:10, the Bible says that Daniel got down on his knees. Now, this is what's convicting to me, and it's highlighted in big letters to me. Every day, and prayed three times, and he gave thanks each time. Wow. How many times we get down and pray? He prayed. Well, that's the Jews. They pray three times. Well, how about us? I pray continuously, actually, but I don't get down on my knees because I might not get back up. But the point is, he prayed three times, and he gave thanks each of those times. No wonder God delivered him from the lion's den. And yet, it's important to understand here when he says he is God. And because he's God, then I'm so grateful. But he says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what? It's not any fun being a sheep, someone said. The problem is, we don't know where the still waters are and the green pastures, but he will lead us. Thanks be to the Lord. And so I want to be his sheep. There's an old hymn, and I used to sing it in school, and in Sunday school, and I couldn't remember it, and all of a sudden it came to me, and I was just kind of saying the words out loud, where he leads, I will follow. Written by Ernest Blandy. I didn't know that at the time. And he says, I can hear my Savior calling. Maybe you remember this old hymn. Where he leads me, I will follow. And when he leads me, I will obey. I will follow. I will go with him all the way. And the song goes on, but I don't want to sing it, and I don't want to hum it, and I don't want to tell you any more of it. The fifth exhortation is right there. It's E. Enter into his gates. Look at verse 4. And this is a matter of passion, folks. This is a passionate plea, not only public, not only purposeful, but it's passion. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Wow, I love that. So entering in and that passion. So with praise, and we've got a lady in the church, and I was kidding her this morning. She is such a servant of the Lord, and it's Valerie. And every time during the service, she will, if something I say or whatever like that, she will just yell out, "Praise the Lord!" And everybody turns around like, "Who's doing that?" And it's her. And she says her dad instilled that in her. And yet I think we need a little bit more of that instilled in all of us. Our Thanksgiving is passionate. Would you say passionate? Yeah, it's giving thanks and praise to God and entering into his courts. This is Judaism. It's coming into those inner courts of what he says, giving praise and that court of the Lord. You know, when the Israelites came up to that temple and they were ready to enter in, they would come into the courts, the outer court, that court of the Gentiles, that court of the people that couldn't go into the innermost, and they were giving praise. They were giving themselves to the Lord in a matter of praising the Lord in all of this, and yet to be thankful and to bless his name. And yet, as we look at all of these things, we realize, okay, so we have public, we have purposeful, we have passionate, and now verse 5, we're going to have perpetual. Look with me what he says. He says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." That knowing heart, knowing that he is good, and knowing that he's good, look at verse 5. It says, "For the Lord is what? Good." Of course he is. And it means every good thing in life, faith, family, happiness, health, all comes from God. And so we're to give him thanks perpetually. And it's a key attribute, it should be, in our life. And his mercy, it says, is everlasting. Notice that, his mercy. Mercy, of course, means that I don't get what I deserve. And if I got what I would deserve, I wouldn't even be here. But thanks be to God. And by the way, don't think I'm the only bad creature around here. Some of you were on that side of the fence, too. And yet, if it wasn't for his mercy, I don't know what we would do. But thank God his mercy, because today when we blow it, and there's times where we do, and we might act out in the wrong way, and yet we might have an experience that is not right, and all of a sudden we find ourselves, his mercy is everlasting. And so it applies to you, it applies to me. Thanks be to God. Can you say, "Thank you, Lord"? Yeah, and it's perpetual to give thanks. Yet God not only has mercy for us today, his mercy is everlasting. It's forever. And then something more. His truth endures. In fact, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So therefore, the Lord gives us perpetual blessings, and he wants us to perpetually give praise and thanks to him. So what if we were in a position where we never saw another flower bloom, or because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when he sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to the messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him and praise him? The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 10, "O Lord, help us to be thankful that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities." Wow. So it is truly to be the knowing heart. Because we know these things, we are to give him praise and thanks. But the showing heart, and therefore the showing heart is something very important for us too. And as the showing heart in Lamentations 3:22, through 24, everything's shaking up there. I'm trying to read the words. Stop shaking. Okay, so Lamentations 3:22 through 24. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says the soul of mine. Therefore, I have hope in him." So let our thanksgiving be this: public, purposeful, passionate, perpetual, and remembering from where all these things come from. There's a poem that I want to share. It's called "Be Thankful," and in bringing this section to a close, and it says, "Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to?" Okay, that's a new perspective. Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, because during those times you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for every new challenge, because it'll build your strength and character. Be thankful even for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are thankful even for the setbacks. But gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they could become your blessings. Can you say amen? In Hebrews 13:5, I want you to turn there real quickly. Hebrews 13:5. So keep your psalm here. Hebrews 13:5. And the scriptures talk about a people. In the book of Hebrews, you should realize, these people were under tremendous persecution. Many of them were dying for their faith. Many of them were trying to understand what was going on and how to live through all their terrible, terrible circumstances. But in verse 15 of Hebrews 13, it says, "Therefore, by him," this is referring to the Lord Jesus, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Would you say giving thanks to his name? So how many of you believe you can give thanks to his name? Say amen. Okay. Then good. I'd like some of you to come up here, down on this. You don't have to come up on the platform. Come right up to here. And I want you to give thanks to the Lord. We're not giving thanks to each other. We're giving thanks to the Lord. Amen? Come on. You all said that I've got plenty to give thanks for. What are you doing? Let's get a few of you. We don't have a lot of time. We're going to have communion here in just a moment. So we want to make sure we start off right, giving thanks to the Lord.
I give thanks to the Lord because of I have a wonderful husband and family. And I give thanks to the Lord for all of you for being here. And I just praise him for us to be able to minister to other people and help them through their hardship times. And I thank him for all the hardships we've had in the last year. And he's answered prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
I thank the Lord for, first of all, my salvation, for giving me life, and just for the many opportunities this year to grow, for my family that I love dearly, that loves me, and my wonderful friends and my church.
Thank you. I'll take it this way.
I give thanks to the Lord for my family and my pastor.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Navy.
First, I give thanks for you. You've been a blessing in my life, and I know a lot of the others here. And then to everyone here, because we're the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's different ones in here. I keep in contact with them. You know, that lift me up. You know, iron sharpens iron.
That's it.
But I can go on, but that's, you know, pretty... Number one is...
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lorenzo. I call him Navy because it's a Marine deal. Okay.
I want to give thanks for Steve and I being able to find this church. It's
yes.
been a great, great help to us. Thankful for all the faithful people that prayed for our grandkids that were mm-hmm. you know, really sick, and they're doing so well.
These are the really twins, remember?
Thank you so much.
That was a miracle.
That was.
How old are they now?
They're 4 months.
4 months. Every once in a while I get a picture of both of them. They're so cute. How beautiful. Thank you. And yes?
I give thanks for the Lord for bringing me here. I've been praying to find a home church again for a while. And I came in this morning and I feel like I'm in the right place.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you guys for welcoming me here.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Debbie.
Debbie. Oh, we got lots of Debbies around here. Debbie, you fit right into the family. Okay, great. Thank you, Debbie. And another Navy.
Thank you, Marie.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't say that part.
No. I thank Pastor Dave. He's basically why I'm at this particular church anyway. The Lord led me here to him. And I thank him and my church family here. And a lot of thanks to Mike Perez and the men's ministry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That has meant a lot to me and my faith and my growing. Mm-hmm. It's just been wonderful, as well as each and every one of you. Thank you so much, and mm-hmm. thank the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jim, thank you. For everything. All right.
I'm thankful to God for the church, for my pastor, wonderful pastor, and Debbie, and Pastor Todd, and just the church. I'm also thankful for my wonderful husband, mm-hmm. and I'm abundantly blessed, and I'm also very thankful for even the trials, because the trials are helping me grow and just be stronger and closer to him.
Yes, praise the Lord. And we prayed for Xavier this morning. So, we are thankful to the Lord. Say, I'm thankful to the Lord. Yeah, and we are to shout, what is it? The three words? Praise the Lord. So, let's hear that shout again. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, that's not quite as good as I'd like it to be. But why don't we just shout it really out this time and mean it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. And then there's one more passage as those that will be serving communion should be getting themselves ready. It's out of Luke's gospel, though. Luke chapter 22, if you'll turn there with me, please. And in Luke's gospel, it tells us this communion service that takes place with the Lord Jesus as right after the celebration goes into something that he is going to really allow his life to be taken. But just before that, it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, well, actually verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, and this is his words in red, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What is? The meal itself, the vision of it, and what he's going to do to make that reality. Verse 17, then he took the cup and he gave thanks. Can you imagine that Jesus would take that cup? That cup would represent his blood shed. And he took that cup and he said, the words here is Eucharisto, which is exactly the equivalent to the Hebrew word of toda, giving thanks and praise. Our Lord Jesus gave thanks and praise that he was going to die for you and me. And no matter what I'm going through, if I could just get that instilled in my head for a moment and then translate it down about 16 or 18 more inches to my heart, then it could change everything. He gave thanks that he was going to die for me. And then it says, for I say to you, verse 18, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. In other words, he would die, but he would be raised. And he would have fellowship once again with us in that day. And it will be for eternity. And then verse 19, it says, he took bread. And he did what? He gave thanks. Eucharisto. We often call this the Eucharist, but it's Eucharisto in the Greek, referring to the equivalent of toda, giving thanks and praise to the Lord. And he says he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're to remember everything that he's done. And we're to give that thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips. It actually refers to, in the Greek, the fruit being like our sacrifice of our lips, giving thanks to his name. They're going to be serving us communion. The worship team will come up. And as they give you the bread and the cup, hold on to both, please. And I'll lead us in a prayer. And we'll partake of them together. Maybe today you haven't felt that you're close to the Lord for whatever reason. Maybe something has happened in your choices or circumstances. But today we need to pray this prayer before we partake. But we should partake. It's energy and strength to our souls and our lives for his glory. They'll begin serving now. Mm-hmm.
crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I can be the child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I can be the child of God. Your life lay down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I can be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow and cleanses me so I can be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God. Your life lay down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I could be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I can be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I can be a child of God. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I can be the child of God.
Yes, so we could be that child of God. But as the psalmist declared, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, and bless His name. Fear the Lord, for He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all and every generation. Say this prayer with me out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, in obedience to Your word, we take on that heart of gratitude, just like You did, Jesus, when You gave thanks for the bread and the cup. You knew what it would cost You, but You freely gave it to us. And the Scriptures tell us that all who call upon the name of the Lord in salvation shall be saved. For we believe in You, and we confess You as our Lord personally, and yet we do it publicly. So, Father God, bless this bread and cup to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.